The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
The Construction Industry Federation is going to meet with Cabinet Ministers today in advance of Budget 2026. I'm joined by Conor O'Connell, Director of Housing and Planning with the CIF. Hey, Conor, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
Have you got an agenda with the Minister or the Ministers, plural?
Absolutely. We want to discuss our proposals to increase funding for infrastructure, funding for and how to increase housing supply, and what budgetary measures could yield greater supply of homes, supply of infrastructure for Ireland's economy and population.
Now, first of all, on infrastructure, I mean, the housing and infrastructure are linked in terms of, you don't have water, if you don't have electricity, you can't really live in a house. So the government has already pledged huge amounts of cash for infrastructural development, though, has it not?
It has. We very much welcome the revised NDP and this significant increase in funding for water, electricity, roads, public transport, etc. But what's critically important now is that the infrastructure unit in the Department of Public Expenditure and Reform, infrastructure department, that actually monitors the implementation of this increased funding to ensure the likes of Uisge Éireann are delivering on the extra funding that they've received, Airgrid, etc. Because, as you know, everyone is saying at the moment that Ireland is facing a very, very significant infrastructural backlog. And the impact on that, in particular on housing, is quite it's very severe in certain areas. Substations of 0% capacity. We have no potable water. There's less capacity at wastewater treatment plants so that housing can't connect to those wastewater treatment plants. So the extent of the infrastructural backlog in Ireland is very, very significant.
Now, we can do the blame game and blame local councils for lack of investment in local infrastructure. And they, of course, will say, well, we didn't have the money, did we? So it's a kind of a circular argument who's responsible. But we are where we are, to use that horrible phrase. The question for you, though, is does the industry have the capacity to respond to all the cash the government is going to be throwing at these problems?
We sometimes get very frustrated about this issue of capacity, because when we look at the capacity to deliver housing in particular, we look at the capacity of the amount of zoned land that's out there available, the amount of that zoned land that is actually serviced with water or electricity infrastructure, the constraints and the resourcing issues in the planning system. So we don't see any capacity constraints.
Except that, you know, anecdotally, people tell you, you can't get a builder. You're looking to do a job in your house, maybe build a house or restore a house, or maybe have a mica reinstatement of a house, and you can't get a builder. And you certainly can't get a builder at an affordable price. So is there capacity?
There absolutely is, Pat. There's different facets or different areas of the construction industry. So those supplying to the domestic market, the small scale works, are completely different labour market to the labour market that tenders into a main contractor or that tenders into a housing construction company. Many subcontractors have resources available to deliver for that sector and have long-term relationships with house builders who are delivering homes, long-term commitments. There's an expression in the industry, can you see the end of the ditch? In other words, subcontractors working into the house building sector can see a line of work in front of them for several years. And that's a very attractive labour market or subcontracting or contracting market for specialist contractors of all sorts into main contractors and house builders.
But if you're looking at a pipeline of already committed work, where's the extra capacity if we were to up our housing targets? We're told we might hit 30,000 plus this year, but we're also told the real demand is 90,000. So where are all those people? If the pipelines are full for these subcontractors you talk about, where's the extra to come from?
Well, if you look at the Dublin office market, for instance, at the moment, and you look around the Dublin skyline at the moment, there's been a significant decline in the number of office projects underway. You look at the labour market that supplies those office-type projects over the last number of years, you know, your tower crane drivers, your banksmen, your scaffolders, all of those skills can be easily transferable into the residential construction sector. They're the same skills. So what we have at the moment is that we have a change in the labour market in the construction sector at the moment, We also see a decline in the pharmaceutical market, pharmaceutical type works, data center type construction works, and all of those resources are now looking to enter into, you know, different markets, whether that's the residential market or, for instance, in specialized markets like data center construction abroad. It's an internationalized construction industry, and you know, we have.
And tell me this: how many of the construction workers now in Ireland are overseas workers who've originated overseas?
I don't have any statistics on that, and I don't think there is any available.
I'll tell you anecdotally, and it's always worth reflecting what you see locally. There's an apartment block being built, and I passed by it after closing time on one of the days last week, and there was an entire crew. And I don't like racially profiling, but they were all sitting down waiting for their transport to come. And they appeared to me to be Asian, to be Filipino, for example. I'm not sure. I didn't stop and talk to them. They were all chatting in their own language to each other, waiting for their transport. But I'm wondering to what extent the shortage is really acute and we are importing labour from other countries.
And that's really difficult to answer, Pat. I just don't know. But it is true to say, and anecdotally to say, that like any other industry in Ireland, from the catering industry, hotel sector, to the IT sector, we are attracting an awful lot of labour from abroad. And that's just, the construction industry is no different from any of those other industries.
Now, you will be making the pitch in terms of monitoring the infrastructural development and accelerating it so that houses can be built. But you also have a gripe about apartment building, and I'm wondering what help you want from the government in Budget 2026.
Well, what we see at the moment is that with apartment construction in Ireland at the moment, the vast majority of apartments that are being delivered with some state support or help, whether that's, you know, Croí Cónaithe scheme, Project Tussig, approved housing bodies and cost rental schemes or social housing schemes. So what we want to see in Ireland, and many commentators will say that that's unsustainable to have so much public funding in the apartment construction sector, but what we want to see and what everyone is saying is that we need to attract back the international capital, because to give you some figures, at the moment, the annualized output for housing delivery in Ireland is somewhere around 12 billion per annum. If we want to reach 50,000 units per annum, 60,000 units per annum, we're going to have to double that capital investment in housing.
Yeah, but here's the issue. You attract this international capital. They come in and they build 8-story apartment blocks which are only for rent. And all that rent flows out of the country into pension funds in Chicago or Canberra or wherever it might be. That is no way really to look after the Irish economy. You've got to have local investment so that the money remains local.
Well, absolutely. We'd love to see, pension funds in Ireland invest into apartment construction schemes in Ireland. But unfortunately, over the last number of years, the pension funds, the German pension funds that have been, who are, by the way, very conservative in terms of their investment profiles and their investment decisions, they see Ireland as a good market. Now, unfortunately, that has changed over the last number of years. But they are institutional capital that is has decades of history and of investing.
Yeah, but the money is still going out to the German pension fund. It's not staying here. Do you know what I mean? And they're building only to rent. They're not building, and this is what you want to bring back, just building for rent. Irish people want to buy their own homes, whether it's a three-bed semi or whether it's a terraced house or whether it's an apartment. They want to own their own pad. And the way the construction industry has gone, the offering from your sector is only for rent. And most people do not want that. They don't want to be renters for life and running into old age, into inaffordability.
Well, absolutely, Pat. What we want to see, there's no exclusivity in terms of, you know, the different types of residential construction that are needed. So, for instance, we need to build more homes for sale. We need to build more apartments for rent. If you look at the increase in rents, the increase in rents of Ireland have far outstripped the increase in the house price, because we simply haven't been building enough apartments for rent for the international workers that are coming to Ireland. Some of them may be on short-term contracts or here for a few years. But in relation to, you know, housing for sale, for instance, what we need for that, obviously, is we need more zoned land. We need more services. So different segments of the residential market need different solutions. And one of the solutions for the apartment construction and the increasing in rents and to ensure more stability in relation to the price point for renters is to attract back that international capital. You know, international capital is very fluid, and it's no different than attracting multinational or sector investment in Ireland to create jobs.
What has made it unattractive then? Because the rents are sky high, so the returns must be pretty dramatic. What is stopping them coming in?
A number of different factors over the last number of years. We had issues in relation to the rent pressure zones and the rental caps. Then we had issues in relation to delays for various different apartment projects right around the Dublin region. And then, of course, what we had is we had a significant increase in the cost of constructing apartments post-COVID. So all of those factors made the yields or the returns that these institutional investors got from constructing apartments in Ireland, mainly in the Dublin area, it didn't make it attractive anymore.
Do you believe that the sanctions now that are coming in March on landlords in terms of not being able to dispose of properties as they choose is an inhibition?
I think it's the changes to the rent pressure zones. The feedback we're getting from some of the investors is that they're welcome. The changes to the planning system that have recently been announced in terms of greater efficiency with the large-scale residential development process, that's welcome. But also, we are facing just a significant factor in relation to the cost of constructing apartments, and hence why we have proposed a reduction in the VAT rate for apartment construction in order to reduce the cost of constructing apartments and attract back this international capital.
Now, the question then of what the government can do for you. Already, you know, the new regime whereby there doesn't have to be a balcony, single aspect rather than dual aspect, tiny sizes now permitted for one-bedroom departments. I mean, they've done a hell of a lot for your sector to make it more profitable to build on a particular site.
They have. No, some of the recent changes have been very welcome.
Not to the people who have to live on the stuff. No balcony. What happens with the next COVID?
No, but at least that provides an opportunity to build more and to provide
build more unsustainable, uninhabitable housing. I mean, what kind of housing do you want to build? Thousands and thousands of apartments, tiny, with no balconies. I mean, who's supposed to live in those long term?
But we want to build more of everything. We want to build more of three bed. Traditional semi-detached units. We want to build more apartments. We want to build more of every type of unit. One of the factors that many commentators say that gave rise to a significant pressure in relation to rents and accommodation in the Dublin region in particular over the last number of years was the fact that bedsits were outlawed. It was a significant factor in increasing rents. What we are doing with these changes to apartment standards is moving towards what can be this constructed in other European cities.
Okay, so if that means lower standards, so be it.
They're not lower standards. They're changes to, for instance, the number of apartments per core, per lift shaft. They're changes.
Yeah, I mean, isn't that a bit worrying that you've got one lift now for I don't know how many apartments, unlimited it would appear. So what happens when that lift breaks down?
But you see,
there's no alternative.
But there are other factors then that would determine how many apartments, depending on the design of the building per lift shaft. For instance, the separation distances in Part B of the building regulations in relation to fire control. So there are many other factors that will determine all of those. The mix, for instance, in relation to 25% of apartments will still require, you know, dual aspects. So what it does do is create greater flexibility, because one of the biggest complaints for many of these international companies that are constructing apartments right throughout the world is that the regulations in Ireland were an inhibitor, constrained them from developing in Ireland because they were what they viewed as very stringent regulations.
Okay, you're sounding a bit like Donald Trump now, you know, no regulation, build what you like. If it falls down in 10 years, so be it.
Not at all, Pat. It's none of the other regulations are changed. The main changes in relation to apartments are around the sizes, the number of units per lift core, etc.
I always feel like asking the developers who produce these things, would you live in one yourself, or would you live with your spouse in one, or would you put a child in one? And the answer generally is no, I would not. That's for the little people. They're for the little people. We're different.
But people at various different stages of their life require various different accommodation. So you have people coming up to Dublin, their first contract, or coming into Cork or wherever it may be on their first contract of employment. They require a smaller apartment unit than they would do maybe when they're at 35 years of age. They get married and they have kids and they want to buy their own place, have a back garden. And you need different types of accommodation at different stages in life. For instance, you might need, in certain locations, you might need step-down apartments, smaller units for people who have been living in three or four bed, semi-detached or detached units, and they will require a smaller unit in order to maintain it better. So you, and unfortunately in Ireland, it's recognised that what we don't have is that we don't have enough of the smaller type units.
Some of the comments coming in, we're in the process of building a house. It's not just a builder you can't get. You can't get groundworks companies to do percolation areas. It's also taking 4 months from payment to get the ESB connected. We can't get broadband to our mobile home without an air code. An air code won't give us an air code for a mobile home or a derelict cottage. I mean, if you have to live in a mobile home during the process of construction, you can't get broadband because you don't have an air code. It's painful listening to this. Housing is a social need. We don't want slums to make the rich richer. It's awful. Talla is ruined by apartments, very small units, no room for laundry. City West is exactly the same. There seems to be no innovation in the Irish construction industry. They keep building as they always have done for private housing. Concrete blocks are slow and expensive. That's from Mike in Limerick. And by the way, that business of apartments, you know, where you have small apartments, and you have them in New York City, you go down to the basement and there's a laundry room where everyone can do their laundry, and there may even be a gym. Now you're, you know, paying top dollar because you're in Manhattan. But they understand that you cannot live in an apartment without having those kind of facilities. There's no such thing here. No storage in the basement, nothing. Nothing like that is ever built by Irish developers. Explain.
Just first of all, in relation to apartments and the number of apartments and our planning, the National Planning Framework and other planning requires us to have more sustainable type development, which requires more apartments. That's just what our planning conditions now seek. In relation to, you know, modern methods of construction, the vast, vast majority of builders are building with timber framed houses or, you know, pre-slab concrete, whatever it may be, ICF systems. They're using all new different types of construction technologies. In relation to, you know, other aspects of construction and urban design, our planners are very, very stringent on what's required within any given area. So while it might
not... Do they still include the area of the balcony as recreational space? You know, where you've got to have a certain ratio of recreational space for the occupants. And they were adding up the space on the balconies as part of that, which is nonsense.
In different local authorities, the development plan would specify the amount of recreation space. So again, depending on location, whether it's suburban or whether it's, an inner city site, sometimes you may not be able to provide recreation space within the site that the developer actually builds upon. So you take a city centre location where there simply is no recreation space around it. Therefore, there's just different.
But that is a given, because we know that city centres are different, and you can't conjure up space where there is already none. These tend to be brownfield developments to which different rules obviously would apply. Anyway, you're going into the minister, not quite cap in hand, but there is the hand is out for something. So in apartment construction, what is the hand out for?
The biggest handout or our biggest request is for a reduction in the VAT to reduce the cost of delivering apartments.
Yeah, but will it reduce the price?
It will,
or is it going to be like the 9% in the catering industry where they say, no, we'll hang on to that money because we need it to stay alive and therefore we will not pass it on to the punter? So in the same way, if you get a reduction in VAT, will it mean a wholesale reduction in the price of your offering?
Well, at the moment in the private sector for a private apartment, construction is virtually none happening, Pat. So a reduction in the VAT will make it happen.
Make it happen, but the price will not come down. All right.
Well, you see, the price is dictated by the price of delivering it. The funders look for a certain level of margin in relation to that. So the price controls and the price control mechanisms around many aspects of residential construction are simply out of the developer's hands.
Conor O'Connell, Director of Housing and Planning with the CIF, thank you very much for joining us. Well, now I think it's time for this.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.